This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will speak with Harvard professors Stephen Levitsky and Daniel Ziblatt about their latest book, Tyranny of the Minority, Why American Democracy Reached the Breaking Point. They say that this presidential election will determine if the U.S. will become a multiracial democracy or cease to be a democracy at all. We hope you can join us tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. Now we are going to discuss the Oscar-nominated documentary short, The ABCs of Book Banning. Over 2,000 books have been removed from school districts across the country. These books have been labeled restricted, challenged, banned, and are generally not available to millions of students in up to 37 states. Banned books include Anne Frank's Diary, the graphic adaptation by Ari Folman, The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag by Rob Sanders, and The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. The voices of those who support book banning have been heard. The ABCs of Book Banning features the voices of those who have not been heard, the children. Here are fourth graders in Mrs. Burns' fourth grade class in Jacksonville, Florida. You'll hear from 10-year-olds Ruthann, Mallory, and Rowan, and 9-year-old Eloise.
I read at a ninth grade level. I like getting books from our library, which we can't do right now. We really can't find one that we like because either we've read it a million times or it's just too easy for us.
They're having the family volunteers come and like take out so that they can review the book.
The first day, I got so mad I didn't talk at lunch, remember?
Yes, I remember that vividly.
The first thing I did is went to my third grade reading teacher. She loved her books.
I had to help take away a lot of the books.
They've pulled like all the like award-winning books.
Yeah.
And you can look at a shelf and they've left us with Junie Lee Jones, which personally is a second grade level book for me.
I like mystery and black history. I'm reading a book Stamped right now. And I'm really into it because I read it every single night.
A lot of the Black History books are being pulled.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any LGBTQ books in our thing, but if we did, they would be taking them away.
Why take away all these excellent books? It's like you're trying to slow down children's reading. Why do that?
We want to read above our grade.
I hope that they see this and are like, these are a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Those are a bunch of 10-year-olds, Ruthann, Mallory, and Rowan, and 9-year-old Eloise. They are fourth graders in Mrs. Burns' class in Jacksonville, Florida. Joining us now is Trish Adlesic, co-director and producer of the ABCs of Book Banning. Trish is an Oscar and Emmy-nominated documentary producer. Hi, Trish. Thank you so much to you and your team for making this great short documentary, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Rosa. Thank you for having me. It's an important conversation.
It is. And I have to say, Trish, hearing from these kids was such an amazing experience because it's so rare. You never hear from 10 and 9-year-olds talk about book bans.
Yes, that was the genius of the director, Sheila Nevins. You know, when we saw Gracelyn, the 101-year-old activist, go before her school board in Martin County, Florida, we were just completely inspired and moved by her incredible ability to speak so eloquently to her school board, who you know, Florida has almost 2,000 banned books. And we really felt that, you know, as you said earlier, that we've heard from the people banning the books, and we need to hear from the people who are directly impacted, and that's the kids. And how refreshing is it to hear their perspective on humanity? And we, you know, if only the people banning the books were as mature and as sophisticated as these phenomenal kids ranging in age from 5 to 16, you know, it gives us hope. And it also is, the truth is that they really are well aware of the world and people and, you know, with the advent of social media. But unfortunately, you know, currently there are 6,000 books banned in America. The numbers have jumped since we finished making of the film up in 41 states. So millions of children are being impacted, and not every kid has an Amazon account or can buy these books. You know, they've been taken out of circulation. And also, with many states having felony charges for librarians and teachers, it's intimidating, you know, and they're afraid if they have the wrong book, and you know, there's a lot of fear happening. And even some of the kids said to us, should I be afraid of this book? And that's the alarming side of their perspective. As much as there's encouragement that the kids are in the know, there was also that element of them thinking they should be afraid of these books at the same time.
You know, I think that a number of listeners probably stopped in their tracks when you said that there are felony charges for librarians and teachers. I don't hear that discussed much, and I just did a quick search. Here's a piece in the Washington Post from last May. Librarians could face years of imprisonment and tens of thousands in fines for providing sexually explicit, obscene, or, quote, harmful books to children under new state laws that permit criminal prosecution of school and library personnel. This is so important, Trish, because, yes, book bans are obviously getting a lot of media attention, but I'm not hearing much about imprisonment or tens of thousands in fines.
Yes, we've met a number of librarians who've resigned in protest, who quit their jobs because they couldn't handle the stress. They said the majority of their work was focused on making sure these books weren't in circulation at their various school districts. In the state of Tennessee, for example, a law recently passed where not only is it a felony charge for the librarian and the teacher, also the bookseller. And the law even goes as far as if your kid goes on a play date to someone's house who has the banned book, they could also be facing criminal charges. And you can look up that law in the state of Tennessee. So I think there is some coverage on it, but certainly not enough. And in mid-December in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, which is Lenox, Mass as well, a police officer went into a school. Thankfully, the kids weren't in the classroom looking for Maya Kobab's genderqueer book. The teacher has taken a permanent leave of absence and is now suing the school district. But it turns out the janitor thought the book was there and created. And this is in Massachusetts. We're not talking Texas or Florida now. So there's a lot of movement happening very quickly on this issue. And we're trying to keep up with the movement so that we can be reporting accurately what's happening where.
I so appreciate, again, going back to the voices of the children, because we rarely hear them. And you've got these adults speaking for them. And what was so heartwarming and really, this word is so overused, but it really does give you hope to think that this young 10-year-old is reading Stamped for Kids, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Ibram X. Kendi and Jason Reynolds. Just reading from the cover here, kids will discover where racist ideas came from, identify how they impact America today, and meet those who have fought racism with anti-racism. Trish, it was amazing to hear her say, I love that book. I read it every night. I mean, we need to hear more of this to know that these kids are doing amazing things in response to these books.
Really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that should be mandatory reading for children to learn about the history of racism in this country. That should be mandatory reading. And the fact that it's being banned and taken out of, I mean, we're trying to erase history. The banned books are trying to erase history and knowledge. As one of the kids said when he's talking about Mouse, you know, you're trying to erase history. I mean, and one of the women, the young women in the film says, I am who I am today because of the books that I read. I would not be the person I am if I hadn't read those books. And when you look at what the books are comprised of, what the stories are, it's very clear the majority of the books are being banned based on discriminatory mindset. Yes, there are nobody. I mean, we all support age-appropriate reading, but it often feels like it's coming under the guise of sexually explicit just to ban the books. It just immediately takes one parent to raise a concern, and then it's taken out of circulation. And there's a process of review that takes place, but you're guilty until proven innocent instead of innocent until proven guilty. So it is a real process. And sometimes it's arbitrary in different jurisdictions. They're handling this in different ways. So the protocols vary on how this is taking place.
Trish Adlesic is co-director and producer of the documentary short, The ABCs of Book Banning. Let's hear another clip. This is author Nikki Giovanni reading from her banned book, Rosa, which is about Rosa Parks, followed by Yeye, who is 9 years old.
As Mrs. Parks sat waiting for the police to come, she thought of all the brave men and women, boys and girls, who stood tall for civil rights. She recited in her mind the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision, in which the United States Supreme Court ruled that separate is inherently unequal. She sighed as she realized she was tired, not tired from work, but tired of putting white people first.
Like, if you were the person who helped ban this book, why? Just why? Like, do you feel like Rosa Parks is a bad person? Do you feel like her legacy, people should not know about her legacy? Why do you choose to do this? I'm just curious. Like, why?
That is 9-year-old Yeye asking, why? Why did you ban this book? Trish, what was that experience like to speak with a 9-year-old who's saying, why is this even happening?
I mean, it was profound that she's a very smart young woman, and she wants that question answered. I think it would be great if the people that raised the objection to the book answered her question. But it was tragic and exhilarating at the same time, that someone that she has to know that that book is being banned, how painful that would be for her as a young African-American child in the United States to have to be confronted with this concept, you know, that somehow this shouldn't matter. So I think her question is valid and it should be answered, frankly. She has a right to know what the intention is behind banning it. So, you know, we were wildly impressed by their remarkable insight on humanity. Kids are very smart and they deserve the credit to know what they can handle and what they can't. And again, we do support age appropriate reading, but the majority of these books really aren't, you know, sexually explicit. I think it's under 2%. And again, you know, I believe and support teachers and librarians that curriculum is approved. They're putting into circulation what the school boards and school districts allow for. So I don't think, you know, they're trying to bring in books that kids aren't comfortable with or can handle.
And to think this is a book about Rosa Parks, this beautiful illustrated child's book is banned.
Yeah, and Rosa is such a crucially important American icon, and on every level, you know, we need to continue to follow and act on her legacy and act on her intentions. So young children should really know about her because they too can be inspired to be activists as well. You know, we're bringing up future leaders and people to speak to our societal matters. And, you know, Yeye could be president someday. Mm. That's going to be important for her to learn about these matters.
So we know that a number of these books are written by people of color, about people of color. A number of book bans are also about the LGBTQ community. And we want to play another clip, The ABCs of Book Banning. And again, it's just because the children in this film just need to be heard by the widest audience possible. The ABCs of Book Banning says the voices of those who support book banning have been heard, but this film features the voices of those who have not been heard, the children. So this is about the book and Tango Makes Three by Justin Richardson and Peter Parnell. It is about two male penguins who have a baby. This book is banned, and you will hear from Ridley, aged 8, Corbin, aged 7, and June, also aged 8.
It's about two penguins who were gay with each other, and even though they had their differences from the other penguins, they could still have a child, take care of it. They could do pretty much everything but lay an egg. I just don't understand, because they're still people. They're still human. It's not like they turn into a werewolf once they're gay or lesbian or trans.
It's about these two boy penguins, and they're just like, they decided that they loved each other. It's like, why would you get rid of this book if, like, people can't be who they want to be? They think it was weird that, like, two boys can, like, love each other. And they thought maybe that shouldn't be able to happen, so they probably banned it because of that.
I heard that they're banning things like LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, queer. And that's something that a bunch of people are one of those things, and so maybe their best friend is, say, transgender, but they don't know about that, so they don't know how to approach it in the best way. And say you want to be transgender, but you know that it's a bad thing where you grow up, so you're afraid to express who you really are, and so you're hiding like a huge part of yourself. And it's like the world knows less than half of you.
That is a clip from the short documentary, The ABCs of Book Banning. You heard from June, who is 8 years old, Corbin, who is 7, Ridley, who is 8. We're joined today by Trish Adlesic, co-director and producer of The ABCs of Book Banning. Again, Trish, when do you ever hear from 7 and 8-year olds talk about LGBTQ issues with so much compassion and intelligence? I mean, it's really incredible.
Yeah, we all fell in love with the kids. You know, Sheila Nevins, this is Sheila Nevins' empathetic, insightful, gracious heart. You know, she really has such keen insight into creative storytelling. And it was her intention to want to bring the kids into the conversation because the books that are being banned affect them. I mean, millions of children are not getting access to these books. And how refreshing to hear that the kids, they know, you know, they're not afraid, you know, they don't understand why. And but it really was remarkable to hear what they had to say. And I think that is where the core of this film really resonates so strongly, is that they should read the books, you know. Mm-hmm. They should be given these books, and they don't see any problem with these stories, you know. And as the young Corbin said, you know, what's wrong with two male penguins loving each other? You know, they don't have any problem with it. If we make it a problem for it, you know, if we make things a problem for kids, then they can be, you know, confused why. But their own hearts and spirits understand. They reading these books helps them understand about the world and help them to learn about empathy for each other and differences in people. Mm. And that's why they're so important to read.
What has the response been to this film as you've taken it across the country? What are you hearing from students, teachers, parents? What stands out for you?
I mean, for the most part, people are incredibly moved and really grateful for the film because they want a tool like this to use to educate people about what's happening on the matter. I mean, yes, there's been a fair amount of solid coverage. We have gotten some nasty emails or nasty Instagram comments, you know, that were pedophiles and bringing sexually explicit books to children, but we are not, and we again support age-appropriate reading. So it's concerning at times, you know. We want to be cautious, but we have to stand on conviction that we believe this is wrong, that books should not be banned. As Nikki Giovanni says in the film, you know, when John Capehart asks her, should any book be banned? She says, no book should be banned. So, you know, we are getting a largely very good response. I mean, to get an Academy nomination was a profound global platform. What an astounding acknowledgement that our film matters in the fight against book banning. I don't think you can get any higher accolade. So for that, we're deeply grateful to the Academy and to everybody who saw the film. But the journey continues. I think the matter is getting worse, not better. I think PEN America and the American Library Association and the National Coalition Against Censorship is continuing to report that the numbers continue to grow. The hundreds of books are being banned at any one given time. So we have to pay close attention to it and really keep an eye on what's happening so that we can help kids get access to books. RuPaul is taking the Rainbow Bus across the country now. I don't know if you know about that, bringing the books to communities where the books aren't available. So that's great. So we're all kind of just coming together, do all we can to support and make sure kids have reading rights.
And I've heard a few pieces on NPR about these underground libraries started by teachers who are dealing with this in the classroom. And the kids are so grateful, but they're all afraid. They don't want to use their names for obvious reasons. I mean, to think that in 2024, we have to resort to underground libraries.
Well, with felony charges, it's a pretty serious offense and a lot of legal fees. And I think librarians are intimidated. I mean, I know a number of librarians that I've spoken with over the last year are very concerned and some are leaving their positions. And these are not high paying jobs and they're important jobs. You know, reading is the core of our being. And if we don't have books that are important for our collective stories, how do we learn about each other as we grow up into, you know, when I read The Diary of Anne Frank, you know, it was staggering impact for me. So I think, these intimidation tactics are harmful. I mean, and I think, you know, we should all be supporting authors, teachers, and librarians and, you know, join organizations, support organizations that are in the trenches helping deal with this matter.
Can you tell us a bit more about 101-year-old Grace Lynn, who was the inspiration for the ABCs of book banning film?
Yes, of course. Actually, she was just at the Academy Awards with us.
I saw the photos of both of you. That was great.
You know, one of the Tree of Life survivors made a jacket for her of silk made of books that she wore over her beautiful dress. And she walked the red carpet with such pride. And she was at the governor's ball party. We were out till 10:30 or 11 at night, you know. And she had an early flight back to Florida. But Grace is unshakable with her conviction on this matter. I mean, and giving Sheila Nevins credit, you know, Sheila gets up and early every morning and looks at TikTok and looks at all the different shows. And she saw Grace on a TikTok and was just completely, you know, blown away by her ability to be so informed and so present in front of her school board and not to be intimidated. You know, she had to climb up quite a flight of steps to get to that school board meeting. The elevator was out that day and she walked up a mountainous range of steps, sat there with such conviction, talking about her husband was killed by the Nazis, fighting for our freedom. She knows what book banning leads to and book burning leads to. She's very eloquent, but she's fierce. And, you know, she's an inspiration to us all at any age, you know, that we need to celebrate our elders. I don't think in America we do this enough. I think there is such ageism in our country. And, you know, we all felt so strongly. I mean, as soon as Sheila saw that, she called me and asked me, it was like a Friday afternoon, could I fly to Florida and meet her the next day? And I got on a plane immediately. How could you not when you see her testimony? And we kind of, you know, she became like a grandma to me. And turns out she grew up near where I grew up and her daughter's husband went to my high school. And there were all these wonderful connections, largely focused on the issue. But Grace is just, she's fierce in her dedication. She'll go anywhere, do anything to fight for the rights of kids to be able to read.
Well, here is Grace Lynn speaking at a Martin County School Board meeting in Florida on March 21st, 2023.
Last year, during the time I was 99, I have created this quilt. To remind all of us that these few of so many more books that are banned or targeted need to be proudly displayed and protected. My husband was killed in action in World War II, defending our democracy, constitution, and freedoms. one of the freedoms that the Nazis crushed was the freedom to read the books they banned. They stopped the free press, banned and burned books. The freedom to read, which is protected by the First Amendment, is our essential right and duty of our democracy. Even so, it is continually under attack by both the public and private groups. Banned books and burning books are the same. Both are done for the same reason. Fear of knowledge. Fear is not freedom. Fear is not liberty. Fear is control. My husband died as a father of freedom. I am a mother of liberty. Banned books need to be proudly displayed and protected from school boards like this. Thank you very much.
That is Grace Lynn speaking at a Martin County School Board meeting in Florida on March 21st, 2023. She is now 101 years old. Featured in the documentary short, The ABCs of Book Banning, which was nominated for an Oscar, Grace Lynn was there on Sunday night with Trish Adlesic, co-director and producer of The ABCs of Book Banning. Trish, I am so glad that you were available to join us today. Huge thanks to you and your team for this important film. Thank you so much, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to have done the film. And when you hear Grace, don't you get choked up? She's so incredible.
Yes.
So thank you for the opportunity to speak to the film and to the matter. And we'll continue to do all we can in this fight. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you can learn more about the ABCs of Book Banning at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.